23rd, 2005. I will open a hearing for the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development, SB 5506. Apologize to the committee for starting late. It's not actually Mr. Bender's fault, although he came in a little bit later. It's my fault because I gave him assignment, and I gave Ms. Meyer an assignment about 5 minutes to 8:30, and they completed it very expeditiously. We have the sheets for community colleges, yes, and Mr. Bender will hand those out. We've done some recalculations since last night, but I don't think it has changed things significantly.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Well, Mr. Bender is passing out the material. May I make an introduction, please?
Oh, yes, Senator Gorley.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, I have a real pleasure today to be shadowed by a member of the faculty at Oregon State University. And I'm speaking of Dr. Terrell Ross, if he would please stand, sitting on the front row. He is Director for Community and Diversity at Oregon State University. He's a longtime Seattle area educator and consultant and a Northwest leader in diversity education. He became Oregon State University's first Director for Community and Diversity in August 2004. And before coming to OSU, he helped create diversity plans for the University of Washington and Green River Community College. He was the founder of Mosaic, the multicultural organization of students actively involved in change at the University of Washington, and as a leader of that organization for the past 10 years, developed and led an annual diversity summit in Seattle, conducted a diversity audit for the University of Washington, and brought together several different groups to advance diversity goals. And for his work there, he was honored with special awards from the University of Washington president and the university's Alumni Association. From 2002 to 2004, he also served as Multicultural Services Coordinator at Green River Community College. He has a PhD in Educational Communication and Technology from the University of Washington and a Master's in Public Relations from Syracuse University. He earned his bachelor's degree in government from Eastern Washington University, and we are absolutely delighted that Dr. Ross has chosen to make Oregon and Oregon State University his home. Welcome.
Okay. Welcome, Dr. Ross. Committee, when we were looking at your rankings for community colleges, it was somewhat unique in the sense that universally through the 8 sheets that were turned in, everyone ranked most of the core portions of community college's operations in the field is number one. So there wasn't really a great deal of disagreement in the committee. I do not believe that I, even in discussion, that I'm going to be able to change those rankings very much. The only thing that I would ask if the committee didn't have an objection is if we took the because they were just minuscule fractions off from one, that we took the number ones, which are community college FTE distribution, CC equalization, Workforce Investment Act, Title I-B, Workforce Investment Act, Title II, Carl Perkins Grant, debt service, community college base, and put those in a more rational order, basically with listing the same way as they were listed by the agency as community colleges in terms of the formula, then workforce investment, then Carl Perkins. That would probably be a more logical order for the, and it doesn't indicate any priority between the ones. It's just a more logical order. Plus, we will move up, I forgot to mention debt service, move up debt service, because we've always listed debt service, actual debt service, already incurred debt service as the first item. Then the second item is the Oregon Youth Conservation Corps, which was the only second item. Then we had a little bit of confusion because there were two items for office operations, and all these items rated relatively high, but the listings by order is just simply a comparison of the relatively high ratings by the order they came in. So for some reason, we ordered the office operations slightly higher when it was only $275,000 and somewhat lower when it was $12 million. That's not entirely logical, and I don't know why there were particularly two line items for that. Do we have an explanation why there's two line items?
Yeah, I believe I do have an explanation for that. In the line item, which is on the bottom row of this particular table, where you see there's a total funds of $12,390,242, that is the existing office operations, and they do include some general fund support. The row, two rows above that, which is also labeled office operations and has no funds actually listed there, is, I believe, the some policy option packages for additional staff that would be funded by other funds. And, of course, we've never gotten into that detail up to this point. Okay. That's more a phase two discussion.
Would the committee have an objection to just listing those two items consecutively? There appears to be more disagreement on the committee when you actually look at how people have rated things on the issue of capital construction than on those areas. Are there any objections to that? And then the last item that will be listed is capital construction, and I don't think that that's really an indication of that being last. It's an indication of being a relatively high-rated item, but of being relatively lower in the high rating. Also, it's an indication that it only had $12 on the
total.
So that's all the governor reserved in this biennium.
That was yes. They, the actual expenditure limitations were not approved, and the governor left that open for either the legislature to review the projects and actually approve them, or to have them approved later by the emergency board as an option.
Okay. Boy, I like a lot of projects I could add for a dollar apiece. Now, is there any objection to the committee to basically making that rank order? I'll repeat it just so it's understandable. We will go Community College FTE Distribution, Community College Equalization, Community College Base, Workforce Investment Act Title 1B, Workforce Investment Act Title 2, Carl Perkins Grant. I just made an error. Before everything I just said, list debt service. Then go to Oregon Youth Conservation Corps, then list both operations next, and then go to capital construction. Is there any objection?
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to say that I appreciate that my colleagues were all gelling together and realizing the importance of taking care of debt service.
Yes. They all seem to be pretty united on community colleges also. Well, actually, do you have any comment?
For the record, Cam Corey Sprawley, Commissioner of Community Colleges. My only comment is that I'm appreciative of the high ranking for services to community colleges. I would note, since I'm seeing the overall effect, that it certainly appears that the committee values most highly service to Oregonians. I would only remind the committee that in order to carry that out, the office does have to have staff.
Thank you very much.
Is that a singular or plural word?
Mr. Chair, I think it would be appropriate here to say again to our audience and to the listening public what happens next in the process as it relates to the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development. What happens next in terms of public participation, opportunities for public testimony?
Thank you very much for that comment, Senator Gordley. We will obviously be going into phase two beginning next week. Community colleges are scheduled in the same sequence that they were scheduled in phase one. Plus, for the first day of the day that they are scheduled, that has been entirely reserved for a public hearing. And so, in fact, for every major area of the education budget, we have reserved a full day for a public hearing before each budget. In the state, in the case of the state school fund and the Oregon Department of Education, being where the lion's share of the funding is in this particular committee, we schedule a day at the beginning and a day at the end for public hearing. And that is probably the first stage, in a sense. We also are working on potentially having a couple of public hearings outside the building, and there is also some ongoing discussion about the when the co-chair's budget comes out, the potential of some hearings around the state. I've heard the numbers mentioned, potentially three or four on the co-chair's budget, which all of us would be welcome to attend, and actually particularly I think the subcommittee chairs would be expected to attend those hearings. That is the process that we have now. Then we will go into, I think we have a little bit of a one-week break after phase two, some more deliberations, and then we go into phase three, which is supposed to be the ultimate deciding phase in terms of passing out budgets. We are not scheduled to pass out any major education budgets prior to phase three. We will be passing out some smaller budgets and a few larger budgets like the state library, but we will not be passing out any of the major education budgets unless leadership directs us to do that at an earlier date. So,
thank you, Mr. Chair.
With that, I will close the hearing on SB 5506. And we will go on to open the hearing on SB 5527, the Oregon Student Assistance Commission. Colleagues, in this particular area, maybe I will have Mr. Bender go through, and then in Mr. Bender and Ms. McGlashan and I met last night going over a lot of these. And we basically have ranked these in accordance with the sheets that you turned in. But what we will entertain probably on these is, as we go through each level of ones, twos, and threes in terms of the rankings where things are tied, we will ask if you want to differentiate between any of those ties, in a sense, if you want to break them up into a clearer order.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Why do we have 6, 7s, and 8s when we were only supposed to rank 1 through 5?
You rated 1 through 5. The co-chairs have asked us to rank everything. So we looked at all of your ratings, and then we basically kept numbering beyond that because they wanted an actual ranking.
Mm-hmm.
If we had, in another committee that I'm in, Senator Gordley's committee, we are ranking high, medium, and low. But she and her committee still has to turn in a ranking that is basically one through however many line items that they have in the ranking. The reason we did it this way in discussions with the co-chairs, why we did it this way, is to have a committee rank 32 items in the order that they wanted to rank them, then to compare 8 different sets of results and try to get any, any consensus would be a relatively difficult process. So we've more or less asked for a rating from people in terms of how they felt about an item and its importance and its performance, and then look from that and average those rankings. And so if something came in with an average of, I hate to say it this way, if something came in as an average of 3.28, and something eight came in at 3.26. The 3.26 is higher in the ranking. The higher the number, the... Am I confusing you, Senator Walker?
Yep.
Okay.
Mr. Chair,
if everybody ranks, if everybody ranks something one, then it would be one. If everybody except for one person ranked something one, and then somebody ranked it two, that would equal slightly more than one as being the high. So it would be ranked less, lower in the scale. And so that's what we basically did. We compared the rankings by every member. And then converted that into an actual ranking for all the line items. That's because the co-chairs actually have asked for a literally 1 through 10 if there's 10 items, 1 through 20 if there's 20, 1 through 40 if there's 40. The Department of Human Services, I believe that's like 1 through 82 or something like that.
So to follow up on the genesis of my inquiry here,
yeah.
There's something here that has the rank of 8. That's dead last and thought of as a intrinsic value to the committee.
Right. No. Well, it's not necessarily that it's not intrinsic value. You see that is ranked dead last was an item where there was a great deal of, high rankings and very low rankings. And
okay.
So that's basically how that came out. I'll ask Mr. Bender to go through these items, and then we will ask if you want to differentiate between like any of the, with like four items ranked, no, it's hard to read. We have five items ranked number three. So to see if you want to break that up at all in terms of ranking them in a different order, if you'd like to go through those. And
thanks, Mr. Chair members. And I apologize. I take responsibility for this confusion between the way the number they were numbered before and numbered this time, because I think when I distributed these to you and asked you to, on behalf of the chair, and asked you to identify how important you felt they were, I probably should have used the word rate instead of rank, because
right.
You're sort of rating them on a scale of 1 to 5. Then what we've done is we've taken all of your responses, we've just taken an average, so if one of, you know, the average number, and then we've ordered them or rated them in that order. So if there are, you know, 12 items, it's possible one of them will be number 12, even if no one put a number above 3 in them, because...
Mr. Bender, that was a much better explanation than the chair. Thank you. I'm sorry to tell you that, Mr. Chair, but that one was good. Okay.
You did.
I did. Well, I think it was too late. Or you did.
No.
Okay.
I just wrote in what I was told while I was in the committee. Rate is written in.
Yeah. But... Once, what we did then was we just took the responses. Now, not everyone, as you know, responded to or rated every program, but we just took the ones that were rated and had a number and not a question mark as a response, took a simple average, and then put them in the order with the lowest average first, because the lower the number, the higher the rating. And the first two items there that came in the highest were the opportunity grant at the essential, what they're calling the essential budget level, which is essentially opportunity grant amounts that are adjusted upward from last biennium solely to reflect increases in costs of attending the institutions plus enrollment growth, projected enrollment growth. That, in order to fund the opportunity grant at that level, would require $58,668,199. Everyone ranked that or rated that a 1. So everyone said that was the highest possible rating. The same was the case for the second item, the opportunity grant to expand the funding so that all students who are eligible would be able to enroll, and so that OSAC wouldn't run out of money partway during the year before all students could be served. That had a cost of $27.6 million in addition to the $58 million, And everyone who rated that, and I believe no one left that blank, also rated that a 1. So that's also at the top of your ranking list. The third one, opportunity grant to expand for part-time. Everyone who rated that a 1, except one person did that a 2. But it was such a small differential from the other two that I've just listed those as in the top ranking. So that forms the top rank.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
I have a question. Could you remind me, does the first one there, the opportunity grant, the central budget level, that did not include any part-time awards, is that correct?
That's
this
correct.
Is the first year. So I would like to lobby the committee that to reverse those. If we're going to change the 1 rankings, we're going to go 1, 2, 3 there, or if we're going to leave them all 1. Is that what is the chair's?
It depends on the committee, to be honest. If the committee wants to, the people ranking items 1 and 2 here, not ranked 1 and 2, but 1 and 2 opportunity grants EBL and opportunity grants serve eligible full-time had exactly the same ratings. So the committee didn't differentiate between those. They only slightly differentiated between the opportunity grants for part-time. So it's the committee's decision if they want to, they could just actually either rank the first 2 1 and rank the third 1 a 2nd, and that would basically change all the rankings below. Or we could, if the committee has some desire to, they could rank those all consecutively, like you suggested, 1, 2, 3, and then just change the rankings below, depending on what we want to do.
I'm okay with it as it is, but my point was that I think I was wanting to argue that the part-time grants, which we've never done, should maybe be higher priority than number 2. If we're going to go 1, 2, 3, I'm okay with the 1s, that, like you have it. But.
Yeah. Where is the committee?
I was looking at opportunity grants as a category, period, and that all of that category comes out as a 1.
I would
not
agreed.
Making a distinction between the 3 different pieces, okay. Just opportunity grants, period.
I would agree with Senator Corker on that,
okay.
But I don't feel comfortable making a distinction between A or B, or B and C, or A or C, or on that. I think they all are the same.
Okay, so we will leave it at that. Private awards was the only thing that came in, and with the and I think that's fine. That's the second largest awards program in the.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Could I ask for expose my ignorance and just ask for a little explanation of private awards?
Yeah, go ahead.
The private award program is a program that OSAC administers in which private donors contract with OSAC to administer, or in some cases not fully administer, but at least to find eligible students for awards that they've established. So if you wanted to establish some type of scholarship and didn't want to go through yourself the process of identifying students each year that who qualify and ranking different applications for that particular award, OSAC offers a service where you can contract with them to do this. They then put together a single scholarship application so a student can apply, and essentially they determine which of the various awards that they have donors for this student may be eligible for, and do a matching service between the students and the donors.
Can I follow with another?
Yes.
This what I thought we were dealing with. I'm perplexed that the and I know we're not dealing with this right now, but the 10% or the governor's reduction, 10% reduction of the $1 million+. If these are private awards, what is the governor?
Representative Jensen, that is probably one of the best examples. And in this case, it's not the governor. The governor had his process earlier. It's our process that requires agencies to show a 10% reduction So they show 10% reductions, obviously, in general fund and lottery fund expenditures. But they also show it in federal funds, and now they're showing it in private money coming in. So this is probably the best example of why bother.
you mean what we're going to do? You're going to tell me that because my contribution or my award came kind of at the very end of all of these, you're going to tell me I can't make that award?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not representing.
Oh. I just wanted to make sure that we weren't.
Then we have, can you go through items threes, all the threes?
Sure. And I just wanted to mention on this page that we distributed to you today, we added columns to the right just to identify how many people are getting those. So there are approximately 2,100 private awards that are awarded each year under this program to 2,100 students. The next item, the CHAFE program, is a federally funded grant program that... technically, in the OSAC budget, it's spent as other funds because these are transferred to them from another state agency. But this is actually a federally sourced program that provides scholarships for former foster youth. And there are approximately 150 participants each year who receive funding under this program. The next item is, unlike CHAFE, this is a state-funded program. It's the Rural Health Program, and it serves approximately 28 individuals who are not students, but they are former students who are now practicing health in various health specialties in designated rural areas. These are physicians, physician assistants, and there may be a couple others that are escaping me right now. But if you practice, a practitioner who agrees to practice in a rural area that the Office of Rural Health has identified as being a critical shortage area, then this program, the state will actually pay off your student loans that you took out when you were in the program to get your practitioner's license. So the loans you took out for that practitioner's license, the state will pay the debt service on that. And they do that based on the number of years that you actually serve in the rural area. The nursing loan program operates in an identical fashion. Some of the areas that are eligible for nursing may be slightly different than for the other practitioners. I'm not positive about that, but it's the same general idea, only this is for nurses as opposed to the other healthcare practitioners.
And there this include nurse practitioners too, or is that a separate category?
I'm not sure if the nurse practitioners I know are covered. I'm not sure if they're under nursing or rural health. They're in rural health. Thank you. The nurse practitioners are under the rural health program.
Thank you.
The next program that's ranked number three is the Aspire program. This is a program that does not receive any general or lottery funds, but receives support from a number of sources, including donations, foundation donations, and some of this is funded under the federal AmeriCorps program. And what the Aspire program does is it trains volunteers to serve in various high schools throughout the state to provide for, and then have the volunteers provide information to students about post-secondary education options and student financial aid options that are available to them. So that is the other program. And the final ranked, third ranked program is the Robert C. Byrd Honors Scholarship, which is again comes from the federal government and provides 300 scholarships per year in Oregon to students attending higher education institutions. It's a merit-based program, so OSAC determines out of the applicants who apply those which will be awarded these 300 awards.
What is the desire of the committee? Is there any desire to change those orders, or we will be basically be telling the co-chairs that everything that's ranked three is actually ranked three. We're not necessarily putting them in any order of ranking within being ranked third. Is there any desire to change the ranking at all? Yes, Representative Mark.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I don't necessarily have a desire to change the order, but I just wanted to put on the record that we should put some general funder lottery money towards the Aspire program.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the committee? Does the committee have an objection that in these columns, just so it looks more logical to the chairs, that if we rank everything three, that they clearly understand we're not making a distinction, that we just put them in alphabetical order, the threes? It's probably easier to read.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
Just for purposes of at least, and maybe staff can explain my somewhat lack of understanding here, but for purposes of consistency, I'm hard pressed to distinguish between private awards and something like the Robert C. Byrd Honors Awards. So I'd be hard pressed to understand the distinction that private awards would get a two and the Robert C. Byrd would get a three.
I think the only big difference would be, and it's still a very significant awards, it's just the we're not going to change either one, but B.
I realize that we're not going to change them. I'm just talking about in terms of a meaningless consistency.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Move it up to number two.
Yeah, either that or, well, I guess I'd have a little bit the same, almost with the Aspire, where we're talking about zero, or Chafee, where we're talking kind of about zero funds. Yeah. I mean, it's all exterior funds, but
To be honest, to put something on the record, a sentiment of the chair, why I think it might be a good idea to put private awards where they are at in the ranking is to the Oregon Student Assistance Commission looks at this, and it has been, as a growing area to attract donors for future private awards beyond sort of national programs that are in place that have both from nonprofits and others. And one of the debates we are going to have is the future of the Oregon Student Assistance Commission in this committee. And to some degree, trying to support their mission of trying to attract more private awards is probably going to be crucial in that discussion. I don't know if I'm being too clear.
You're very clear. I understand.
There's politics involved?
Politics, yes. I wouldn't.
Okay.
Number four, Mr. Bender.
Number four is one of the two program functions of the Office of Degree Authorization, which is housed with the Oregon Student Assistance Commission, and that is the program review process. And under the program review process, what ODA does is when an institution, this would be a private institution that is not one of the ones that are domiciled here in Oregon, wishes to offer a new program or a new degree in Oregon, they review and approve or not approve that degree based on criteria, academic criteria. So they are reviewing that, and that is one of their functions.
Okay. Any problem? Then the number fives.
Number five is the other function of the Office of Degree Authorization, which is to validate degrees when there are questions as to whether a degree that a person or an individual is indicating that they have acquired is a valid degree, in the sense of that they really got it, and in the sense that this is an institution that is actually accredited and a valid institution.
Mr. Chair, could we go back to program review, that number four, for a moment? Mr. Bender, how are we to understand the headcount looking over to the far right? The 8,500, can you put that in perspective?
My understanding is that if we look at these programs that have actually been gone through this program review process and have been approved by the Office of Degree Authorization to operate in Oregon, they are serving 8,500 students currently.
Okay. Thank you.
You might cover Oregon Youth Conservation Corps because that's the number five also.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Oregon Youth Conservation Corps. This is not the actual functioning of the Corps, which you looked at in the Office of Community Colleges and Workforce Development, because they are the administrators of the OICC. But under the OICC program, participants in that program are eligible for certain scholarships. And those who are eligible for scholarships, these scholarships are actually administered and paid by the Oregon Student Assistance Commission out of funds, out of funding that goes to the OICC. So the OICC funds, some of them are transferred to OSAC and are then transferred to students in the form of financial aid for participants in OICC programs. That's about $51,000. Per biennium.
Mr. Chair, we didn't get a head count for that.
I may have made a mistake, and I think I did make a mistake, in that the number 123 that's on the next row, it really should have been up at that row. I apologize for that.
That would bring the jobs plus number
up. Yeah, then the jobs plus number is 225. Jobs plus, you may recall that participants in the Jobs Plus program receive or have money deposited for them into an account based on the number of hours that they participate in that program. These funds can then be used to pay for education-related costs for either themselves or dependents if they choose to attend post-secondary education. And there are approximately $740,000 that are anticipated to be distributed under the Jobs Plus program in the governor's budget. Approximately 225 claimants would claim these funds.
Going back to the number fives, the degree validation diploma and the Oregon Youth Conservation Corps, is there any desire by the committee to differentiate by ranking those?
Well, Mr. Chair,
yes.
I'm a huge supporter of the Oregon Youth Conservation Corps, and actually when we get to phase two, I want to discuss adding some general fund money into their community college appropriation.
Okay.
But we serve 123 students. It's a small program, but it does a tremendous amount of good for these at-risk students. So I'd like it to stay relatively high in the ranking.
So we will still keep them both at five. Is that what I'm hearing? I'm not hearing any objection to that. The next six, you've already explained the Jobs Plus. How about the Information Services Division?
Information Services Division, and if, with your indulgence, Mr. Chair, I'd also like to speak of the Administration Division, which is two rows down from administration, from Information Services. These are the basic administrative functions of the commission, similar to the office operations in CCWD that you looked at last time. These are split between administrative division and the information services are just those three FTE in the agency that work in the information systems or computer systems in the agency. Typically, we would not have this separated like this. When the agency was larger, they had a bigger information services division, and they were actually a separate program area. Now that the agency is smaller in size, it really doesn't make too much sense to talk about a separate information services division anymore, in my opinion. But they're listed separately because this reflects the way the agency was organized in the governor's budget, which reflects how it was operating last biennium. I think that both of these can be just considered the administration at the state level of the various other programs that you see here.
Okay. Would that be a recommendation to list them together and then list Jobs Plus below or above them? Or just list them as they are listed?
Well, I would...
Or just make it still as a six, just like everything else in that?
I would think that there would... My recommendation is that there really isn't a rational reason to rank administration and information services separately. I think that's the way the numbers did come out when you were looking at this.
Okay.
So I would combine them and put a ranking as you choose for the combined.
Is there any objection to listing all three of those as six then? They still have separate line items, but... we can list them all as six if there's no objection.
All three, including Jobs Plus.
Right. Jobs Plus obviously is not it's not general funds either, and we're unlikely to.
Well, if you want to come out at eight,
I do have a question about Jobs Plus for phase two. Just recalling that we had quite a bit of discussion in the earlier phase about how the opportunity is marketed. Are we reaching all of those who are eligible to participate in the program? And I have a question about the current headcount, the 225. Is this representing that those 225 have a draw on the 740,000 that is available?
And Senator, the 225 would be an annual figure. So approximately 450 claimants would claim a total of $740,000 during the course of the biennium.
Okay. Again, just recalling that funds have gone unused in at least a couple of biennia, and wanting to understand how we do a better job of making that opportunity available.
I believe Margie Lau, who's the executive director, has some comments.
Yes, please comment.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, Senator Gordley. We have been following up on a lot of the committee's questions that came from the first few days of hearings, particularly on the Jobs Plus program, and I've met with representatives at DHS about the program. They have worked very closely with folks at the Employment Department to increase awareness and maintain awareness amongst the potential beneficiaries of the program. And they have an advisory group that meets quarterly to look at the progress of the program. Many of the challenges that people are having in accessing these funds at the present time is that because DHS had to scale back the duration of the program in the reductions that occurred earlier in this decade, participants now can only use the services for a maximum of 13 weeks. That's reduced the number of hours that the dollar is earned, which is a dollar per hour, that goes into the account. And so now most of the accounts have balances of under $250, which unfortunately now in our post-secondary education environment wouldn't even provide the funds to pay for a three-credit course at most of our community colleges. After we finish meeting today, I'm actually meeting with CAM, with Community Colleges and Workforce Development, to see if there aren't ways in which we can partner with the community colleges to create some opportunities that would be more easily accessed by this particular group of folks who have valued education, who need education, but have a lot of challenges financially and with their own family situations and being able to use those services. but we are working very closely to look at all the alternatives on how we can better serve this particular group.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Just a couple additional comments. Well, clearly there's a need to redesign the Jobs Plus program, or this component of the program, so that we remove the barriers to access. What you just described, I hear that as a barrier to participation. And then secondly, Mr. Chair, I think we need to look at designing a performance measure or measures around the Jobs Plus piece for this agency, but also we need to communicate to the human services side that there needs to be a performance measure attached to the budget on that side as well.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Gordley, we agree very much about the need for the redesign on the education account side of this program. Discussed preliminary actions on how we might do that at our commission meeting last Friday. And as we work with the partners, we'd like to come back to meet with you and other members of the committee about what our concepts are that we're exploring in that area.
Including performance measures.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well, we will move on now to our last item, opportunity grants for students that have received certificates of initial mastery. A number of committee members have already commented that this is being ranked last in terms of the priorities. Trying to give an explanation that's understandable is that we rated each of these items. The difficulty in this particular item is that many of you rated it 1 and many of you rated it 5. And that means there is a clear disagreement on the committee, and it may relate to as much to the fact that it's a grant, or it may relate to the fact that it's SIM. So in our rankings, that's basically where this came out, if we were to just simply do the average of all your rankings. I'm going to get some pushback on this, but I have to be frank with the committee. I do not believe that we are going to get all the general funds that are in the governor's budget for this particular agency, the Oregon Student Assistance Commission. I do not believe that we can take away the administrative function of the division. I think to preserve the SIMS grants, if that's some of the committee members' desires, those funds will ultimately probably come from either the part-time or the expansion of the regular opportunity grants to students. I think that's the discussion that we will have. I just wanted to put that on the record. What I can suggest to the committee in this case is we can either debate this now, and some of you will be on one side and some of you on the other, or I can put a note to the co-chairs that there was genuine disagreement on this item in the committee, and that people were, I won't say people were either ones or fives, but I was just saying that there's general disagreement on this item in the committee, and that's in our overall rankings why this ended up last.
Two thoughts.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, one, SIM and CAM are current public policy in statute. And secondly, we have real-life students on SIM and CAM track in our schools. And so, again, I have trouble making a distinction between the opportunity grant categories. An opportunity grant is an opportunity grant. If you're a part-time student, you have access. If you're a full-time student, you have access. If you are a SIM student on that track, you have access to a opportunity grant. So that's how I'm framing the the subject and the opportunity.
Are there any other comments?
Well, I would agree with that assessment myself. I could understand maybe ratcheting that number a little bit if we have to. The bigger question, if the issue has to do with certificates of initial mastery, there are several bills in the session that would change that system, but we are under a system. We sort of have to look at current law. And if we want to hold this item for last to see if any of those other bills change the current system, then that would be another way to approach it.
Yes, Representative Jensen.
I guess my question on this, we're looking at these opportunity grants, are significant increases from where we where we're at right now, and the chair has advised us we're probably not going to get all of that.
I've been given every indication from the co-chairs that they're not planning to put the full amount, and I've been debating them over that item.
In light of that, I don't know that I would want to have a pool of money set aside for the SIM, because all of the SIM people are eligible to apply anyway, are they not? Or not all, but some of them would be.
Some of them would be.
Yes, yes. If there is a financial component, I understand. By the way, Mr. Chair, I don't believe everybody was one or five. I think there were some people.
There could have been one or two.
There was somebody I know that fell right in the middle of that.
It's just the item that had the greatest deviation.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And I thought that would probably be the case.
Standard deviation of two.
No, not a two. Much higher than two.
I'm not particularly, I understand what is the current law. I'm not particularly a fan of that law, and I haven't been for a long time. I don't know what's going to happen in terms of legislation about the SIM or what its chances of having some legs, pro or con, are. But I just don't see any reason to place the SIM thing in a high category. In a separate category by itself.
One of the things that I would reiterate here is that, to be very upfront, I rated this very high. But at the same time, understanding that the regular opportunity grants, both the existing essential budget level and the expansion and the part-time, all go to students who are need-based. The grants are going to them because of their financial status and their needs. The opportunity grant SIM is clearly envisioned as an achievement-based grant. It's simply you have achieved, or is it a? That was my understanding. Maybe I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong. I would like to hear I'm wrong on that. But
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, again for the record, Margie Lau, the Student Assistance Commission. The SIM, or we're calling it the Challenge Grant Proposal, because we know there are a number of different concepts in the building around how it might be reshaped. But the Challenge Grant component is a merit grant within the NEED program. You would first have to qualify the opportunity grant financial need criteria prior to being able to earn this. But this would be a way in which to further incentivize students to, as they're finishing high school, to be very ready and even have a head start on achieving their post-secondary education goals.
So it would be fair to say, while in the normal opportunity grants there would be students of high achievement, that would be totally need-based. this would be both a need and a achievement-based grant.
Right, we're calling it merit within need.
Yeah.
You see, you have to meet the need criteria first, and if then you have earned the SIM or its future equivalent based on legislative policy, that then that student would receive, as it's proposed, an additional $500 one-time award.
Okay.
An additional
$500.
That is correct.
Yes.
Chair, I would agree with Representative Jensen. I don't see why it should be a separate line item then. It still is need-based, first and foremost.
The only reason it's a separate item is because it's a separate item in the budget.
Well,
and
yeah, I guess I don't mean that. I guess my suggestion is I don't think it should have a different ranking than the other opportunity grants before we agreed to give all the other opportunity grants a one.
That was my point.
Yes. I understand your sentiment. And I'm sitting here as the chair of the committee, knowing that I have members of the committee, some that have spoken, some that have not, that are very supportive of moving this up, and some that are not, at least if they stay by their former rankings. So I don't feel comfortable unilaterally moving it up there unless I can reach some consensus in the committee to move it up.
Well, what if we just split the baby and it goes in the middle?
It's not a very good image.
No, I understand. You use that phrase in court a lot. I never know why. But
we've been given entirely different information today. That's not what we were given when we went through this presentation before. So
right.
Now we're given, give us the information so we can evaluate. That's not what we've been. We evaluated on what it said in Sim Camp.
Right. Well,
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'd be willing to split the difference between a 1 and 5 and put it where I ranked it in the first place.
Okay.
You're the only smart guy on the committee.
And I understand my grade.
Please, we've got to move it up on the table.
If we were to do that, and let's say we were to, if you wanted to split the baby,
can we come up with another description?
Split the bounty.
Well, if we wanted to make a Solomon-like decision, which was would there be objections to moving it? Because we know there's some degree of dissension. We will move it to a 4 right above program review and keep them both as 4s. So it will follow, it will be basically opportunity grants, all the private opportunities for grants, scholarships, and then it will be there. That is literally in the middle of the list, and it is still in the same groupings with money going out to students.
I would be agreeable with that.
Is there any objection to that? Hearing no objection, that is where we will put it. There is one item on the agenda tomorrow. First of all, since I've got agreement, I'm going to close the hearing on 5527. I have one issue tomorrow that I'm going to talk to some of you about in terms of the rankings of in the OUS system. It only affects one individual item, and if I don't come and talk to you, don't feel left out. I'm just trying to figure out if people understood what the item was, basically. And so I will probably be talking to a few of you about that item.
Are we to conclude that the few of us that who will be talked to are the ones who made a mistake?
We're being taken to the woodshed? I'm not sure if I'm one of those, but I'll be prepared.
Yes. You're not being taken to the woodshed. And it's not because it's necessarily the, how would I say it, the highest priority of the chair. I think we had something that came out in a similar fashion to where the opportunity grants came out, because largely people disagreed and were from A to Z on the item. And I don't think that sending that message out of this committee would be a very good public statement. So I'm going to talk to a few members about that. So, is there anything else for the good of the business? If not, we will go on to tomorrow.
I have one.
Yes.
I'll go to Representative March.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, we did not talk.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes.
Very much about the capital construction in the community colleges.
That is correct. We received some direction from the co-chairs not to do the capital construction budgets either in community colleges or in the OUS system as part of this sort of week-long discussion.
I remember you saying that now, but it weighs heavily upon my mind, and
yes.
I'm very interested in that topic.
We do have a handout that we will get out to you tomorrow. I don't know if it is here today, but you have specifically requested if there was a listing of the other projects, and if you haven't received that yet,
I have received it. And I'm very interested in adding and making sure they're on the list if we do a list.
Yes. And I'll make sure that everybody in the committee has received that listing also, if Mr. Bender would. Before I go to Senator Gourley, I did forget to comment on one thing. You got our compiled sheets for the Oregon Department of Education and the State School Fund. These were based on our rankings, our discussions yesterday. If you have a major concern, and what I describe as a major concern, not as if you think something should be ranked third and it's ranked sixth. A major concern is something is ranked that you think should be ranked third and is ranked 21st.
exactly that particular concern.
Please come to the chair sometime before the end of normal business tomorrow, which I think for legislators is midnight, but we'll say 5 o'clock. And we will note your concern to the co-chairs. We probably will not have time to get into a discussion of rearranging, but we will note specific members' concerns about rankings. But please don't come to me with 43 different concerns about rankings, because this is nearly as based as we can on your rankings and the discussion we had in the last 2 days.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
I thought maybe there were going to be additional discussions before all of this went to the co-chairs. My apologies for misunderstanding.
Yeah.
I probably would have, instead of simply objecting, spoken more to an issue had I known that we were moving this directly from here to as far as the rankings.
I apologize to Representative Jensen for this. I think our difficulty, and I know that Senator Gourley has spoken on this several times as being we should have more time for this process, but they basically have given us 4 days to get through every major educational agency that we have in the committee. If there is a specific item, I would be glad to meet with any member of the committee who wanted to meet on a specific item. And if we do have time, I'll try to bring it back to the committee's attention prior to the end of business on Thursday. But we have been given this is almost as bad as your Solomon. We've been given a drop dead.
I understand.
Paid by the co-chairs. Not very good. So I would be glad to talk to you about your concern, and we can see how we can address that. With that,
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Just for the good of the order, just want to make sure that as we are going through this part of the process, the agency program priority to discussions, need to make sure that we have materials available for people in the audience. You know, I never have a sense of who's going to be here.
Right.
We're not taking testimony at this juncture. Let's do check and make sure that people have the materials that we're looking at.
Anything additional?
Just from our discussion about the ODE, it had seemed to me that the sort of schools for the deaf and schools for the blind were higher in the category somewhere, and that's, you know.
Well, actually, what we asked in committee yesterday, the only reason, I know, the only reason you end up at that number, I could actually make people feel better by just changing the number on about 12 items here, is that we had this discussion about listing all of those federal-funded programs basically in the same listing as we had listed them by the Department of Education, because they are clearly, while it might be some question of choice, we are clearly not going to turn down federal funds that benefit Oregon children and meet some of their educational needs. If it would make the committee feel better, I could suggest that we simply list all of those items, which are even start with education, which is literally items 7 through 18. It's all sevens. We don't get up to a higher number. We're not actually even asking the co-chairs to differentiate between those.
Right.
We aren't planning to differentiate between those. We're going to take as much money as the federal government will give us for education. Yes.
Mr. Chair, now I think our exercise, we should have been, you know, we went 1 to 5, and we're looking at 1 to 30 here.
Yeah.
I'm terribly disappointed to see assessment accountability as a 25th and 26th priority.
Yeah. That would change, the numbers would change dramatically in terms of those if we just listed those, all of those federal programs as a 7.
That would give me less heartburn.
Would that give?
I think this is giving the public and the, and we're listing accountability that low. You know, below extracurricular activities, you know, some of these.
I could make a suggestion to the committee, but I don't know if I would get consensus in this. And I actually don't have one member of the committee here, but if you wanted to, it's not going to make any difference in the determinations by the co-chairs. I could list all of those items that are the federal pass-through dollars for all of these programs. Basically, this is why it's difficult to get into this discussion, is, let's see, I don't know where you could stop them. Let me try this. Let me try to come up with a rationale, not to change the orders dramatically, but let me try to come up with a rationale that solves part of your problems in terms of how this might look. And I will bring it back to you tomorrow. Because I don't think...
I think that would, before you do that, I think we'd have to have a fuller discussion. I mean, there are other issues.
Right. I know. We don't have 2 days for another discussion.
And that's really unfortunate.
I know it's unfortunate.
That's an example of how this process has a flaw in it. And you'll keep hearing me say that. It's a bit too linear. I'm looking at the line 26D down. I'm looking at the bold black line and then everything below that. And when I see literacy, ready for school, and closing the achievement gap as 26B, 27, and 28, okay, it gives me pause,
okay,
to say the least.
Here's what I'm thinking of, and I think I may be able to solve all of your problems in one way. when we had the discussion the other day, we had a general discussion about whether or not to list some of these in the same order as the Department of Education listed them. They generally listed all of those federal pass-through programs before they listed anything in the department. And so what that basically did is, in their own rankings, your literacy, by example, your literacy in their rankings was 28th, and in ours it's 2016. There is a way, once we move the federal pass-throughs down, that those numbers will all be moved up, and they will basically end up they will basically end up right underneath all of those items will be right underneath youth corrections, juvenile detention, and all of that. So, I mean, they will, if you're concerned about where they are at in this listing, that'll be a relatively easy change to make. And if I could have the committee's indulgence to bring this back to you tomorrow, I think that you will like the listing better. I'm just trying to go by what you turned in and what you said in committee.
Well, do you want this one back?
If you'd like to give it, yeah, you can give it back. We'll give you another one tomorrow. But we do have, we do not have probably, well, I cannot foresee the future. We do not probably have a very lengthy discussion on OHSU and priorities, because we are all virtually in some agreement, at least if we go by rankings. We may have some discussion in OUS, so we have to allow time for OUS tomorrow. But I'll bring back this sheet, and I'll plan to bring it up at the end of the committee meeting, and I'll actually give the sheet out at the beginning so you can look at it. And I think it will be better, but I don't think we should get into, though, an argument about something. I understand your concern about where it's listed at, in general, some of these items, but that's exactly where those items were in ODE's presentation of the items. So by changing these few things, they will be ranked much higher, and the pass-throughs will be marked lower. But I think that will resolve some of your issues. But we probably can't get into a debate about whether to mark something 7th or 9th. We probably don't have the time before Mr. Bender and Ms. Glasson have to get this all together to turn it into the co-chairs to do that. And understanding that this is a beginning portion of the process, this is not an ending portion of the process. So we will turn out a new sheet tomorrow.
Could I make a comment?
Yes.
Senator Gardner?
Yes.
And I don't know that she necessarily disagreed with me, although it would look like she probably did from where this was ranked. But if you you look at the SMART program and your concern over the literacy program, mm-hmm. I have some difficulty, with ranking the literacy program all that high if the SMART program is ranked all that low, recognizing they're in two different places, mm-hmm. Here.
It should be hand in hand.
Well, in one case we're talking about some federal dollars coming in, and in another case we're talking about literally tens of thousands of hours of volunteer time mm-hmm. coming in, mm-hmm. all of which is not at the expense of the state of Oregon.
Mm-hmm. And doesn't show on the books.
I was also passed a note indicating that obviously the state school fund was, nor was ODE actually on the agenda today.
Oh.
Nor can they be on the agenda tomorrow, actually, officially. But I will hand out a new sheet tomorrow. And if you, they can't be on the agenda officially tomorrow because we are under a 48-hour notice. So, not because it's the chair's wishes not to put them on the agenda. So I will hand out a new sheet, and if you have the same objections, I will call a meeting for Saturday.
Very good.
We have phase two.
Education was always on the agenda.
That's actually my choice. That was not meant in any way to the committee as a threat. But to get 48 hours notice, that is my choice, actually.
Could you make that Sunday?
Well, they've got 6 inches of snow in Bend overnight, so yeah. I don't think they're looking to do anything.
I might go to Bend. That would be more fun.
I'm going.
Well, with that, and I've already closed the hearing on the Student Assistance Commission, we will close this committee for today, and we will start at 8:30 tomorrow morning. And on the agenda tomorrow is the Oregon Health Sciences University and the Oregon University System.